This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Why'd you do that? You messed me up.
Because it's like looking in a mirror. I wanted you to see the face that you do right before you start on. You get this cocky swagger, and you're like, hey,
well, I'm doing
welcome to episode 110.
You ever watch like Seth MacFarlane do voices on TV? You might know, he makes funny faces while he does voices.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so. Now I'm going to be all self-conscious about it.
It's going to ruin the hair is done.
It only took you 110 episodes, but good job.
Yep.
Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 110 of What Did You Watch This Week. My name is Mike.
Has it really been 110 episodes, though? Because haven't we had, like, little fillers and stuff that weren't official episodes? Here and there?
No, I don't think we had we had weeks we missed because of illness or vacations or something like that. So we can't say this is our 110th week because we're actually probably up to 115.
Right, yeah.
115 weeks or something like that if you want to be precision about it. But we are up to episode 110.
Correct. What was that?
I didn't see my hair.
Oh.
So I wanted to get it out of my face.
You were doing like a little fashion model thing. Like,
I guess kind of. Anyhow, so per our listener, Carolyn.
Oh, yes.
Our friend, she I ran into her at the Michaels the other day.
Oh,
and
the store named after you.
Yep, the store that was named after me that sells craft goods.
Yep.
Anyways.
Seems about right.
Anyhow, so she had said that because of Westworld, she has to skip our show because she can't watch it until it's all out. So I told her we would just talk about Westworld at the end so she could listen to the beginning.
Oh.
And then.
Well, that was awful nice of you.
Yeah, I didn't even consult you or anything.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. I mean,
so this week on Westworld, 7 people died.
Well, that's not really a spoiler. That sounds like an underestimation.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. All right, so wait until the end.
There was that suicide circle, so I mean, that alone. You know?
Why does she have to wait until it all comes out?
She doesn't have HBO. Does she wait for it all?
Not have $5?
We did.
Carolyn, it's $5. $5 right now on Hulu.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't break down the semantics at all. She just made the passing comment. And I said, oh, well, you know, we'll just do it at the end. Or we record it at the beginning, and then we have to put a timestamp in the damn notes and say, oh, if you don't want to listen to Westworld.
I've had a couple of people ask about that.
I have had someone else say the same thing.
What I've told them, and not in a dickish way, is just it would be so much more work. Because mm-hmm. then that means listening through at regular speed.
Yeah.
And, like, skipping. Oh, I went too far. Go back. And then make sure that we're actually listening to the part that has the bumper in the front, the bumper in the end, so that we get the times right. We don't go, oh, crap, now we're off by 32 seconds in every direction.
Right.
But, you know, going through and then the way you and I randomly talk, you know, we might be like, okay, now we're talking about Flash. And then, like,
yeah, even if we just sat down and made notes as we go, we jump around too much.
Yes.
Jump up and get down. Yeah. Jump. Here we go. Jump. Here we go.
So, yeah, you and I have both had that, and it has been things that we have thought about. It's not just like, no, we're not doing it, but
okay, I jump around, stuck in my brain now.
I'm good at this game.
I usually do that to people at work.
Did I tell you about the hot mustard the other day?
No.
When we got Chinese food the other day.
Okay.
And we're all sitting there eating our Chinese food in the RCC.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear this, and I look over, and Dylan's, like, clutching his face. He had taken his glasses off, and he's clutching his face. And I go, what is wrong? And he goes, oh, my God, that hot mustard's really hot. And I went, dude, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I've never had it before. So your first impression was to, well, I put it all over my food. I saw you do it, and I put it all over my food. And I took a big bite, and his face exploded. He had to take his glasses off. He's like, my eyes are burning. I'm like, I've done this for years. I know about this.
You have to take a put it on your finger. Or as my mom used to say, dip it in a French fry, because you know what a French fry tastes like. Yep. And it's Chinese food, I realize. So put it on some rice, I guess.
Right. But like a grain or two.
Yeah, Chinese food, hot mustard, is quite temperate.
Yeah, it's right up there with, like, pepper spray, essentially. And so, like, what I did was I took my little cup and I put it in my rice and mixed it up because, you know, it adds some heat to it.
Right.
But he saw me do that and went, oh, okay, this is how we're supposed to do it.
I'm going
to
give that a go.
Never had it before in his life.
Oh, so how did he enjoy the rest of his meal?
Oh, he didn't enjoy the rest of his meal nor the subsequent bathroom trips.
That's funny.
The reason I brought that up was because Mike has a hot mustard pack from McDonald's sitting on his table.
I wonder if I'm going to see him again before he leaves so I can rip him about that.
I really think you should. Bring that in and toss it on the desk in front of him, that little packet from McDonald's, and be like, maybe this is a bit more your speed, champ.
That sounds like a plan.
Right up there with the plastic knife.
Yeah. Oh, God. Tony freaked out. Our coworker, Tony, apparently. John's last day in dispatch was last week, and so one of the supervisors brought in a cake for him. And John found out that if you take the plastic cake lid off your standard supermarket cake, and then you take the serrated knife and run it on the edge, the inside edge of the lid, one of our coworkers, Tony, will lose his freaking mind.
Mike wasn't there to experience this, so being the good friend that I am,
he let me know.
I sent him a message and said, here's a present for you.
So the next night I go in, and of course there's cake left over. Of course, because it had, you know, buttercream frosting. It sat out on the desk all night long.
Right, because nobody's going to take care of it. Someone else will get it.
Yeah, I threw it away.
Good.
Someone said to me, oh, that's probably a good cake. I'm like, first of all, it was one slice. Second of all, no, it wasn't. And it's Friday night, and if I don't throw it away now, it'll be here all weekend. Because right. They don't come clean our center on the weekends. So I stand there, I go, oh, I wonder how that cake is. So I take the lid off, and I'm just kind of staring at it, and I went and got a fresh knife because the knife, of course, that was in with the cake was completely caked with
cake.
Caked with cake on both sides. And I just took the knife and I just started rubbing it on the edge. And as soon as I started running it on the edge of the lid, Tony, who was sitting right in front of me, like I saw his neck. I saw him get shoulder earrings.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
You know, and just kind of like, and he just kind of.
Trying to do a turtle impression.
Yeah, and he just kind of held on for a little bit, and I'd stop. And I'd start again, and I'd stop. And then finally he spun around, and he's like, what are you doing? I go, I'm trying to decide if I want a piece of cake or not. No, you're not. That's not what you're doing at all. Yes, it is. I'm trying to decide. That's why I have this knife to cut the cake. You just said there's only one piece of cake left. I go, maybe I don't want the whole thing. Maybe I just want a slice, a small portion of that slice. So I'm just thinking about it. That's all. So I, fucking John. And he grabs the lid and rips it out of my hand and like kind of, you know, takes it away. And so I just take the plastic base and slide it to the edge of the table and just start doing it again. Which again sent him through the roof.
Welcome to our new podcast, The Sociopath Hour.
It was fantastic.
Where we prove that we don't belong in normal society.
You know, I tell people this all the time. It's like Rude and Tony tried to get me going because I don't like Roman Reigns. And so they're like, oh, get Mike, how'd you like your buddy Roman Reigns? And I just go, he's not my friend. Or like Rude got me a little miniature action figure at Christmas time and he like sent it down at my desk and I just took it.
And the two of them giggled like schoolgirls for days ahead of time knowing that it was coming.
Right. And then when I saw it, I just kind of tossed it to the side. Said nothing about it, and they just waited and waited and waited, and I didn't react because that's the thing. You want me to react, I'm not going to.
Right.
I do things like put the knife on the side of the lid so that way it'll generate a reaction from Tony. If he didn't react, it wouldn't be any fun.
That's right.
So a couple days later, Tony's like, so did you get your present? I go, what present? And I just no-sold him. I'm like, oh, I don't remember seeing that on my desk at all. Interesting. I completely ruined his good day. Anyhow.
So we watched some stuff this week.
Enough about work and personal life.
Enough about 10 minutes worth.
Yeah, we watched shows and stuff. Timeless. Do you caught up on Timeless?
I have not watched the most recent one, okay, but I watched the Mrs. Sherlock Holmes.
Well, we're recording on May the 8th. Tuesday, May 8th. So we're talking about shows that have happened on the May 6th or prior, except for Westworld. So I guess technically May 5th and prior.
Yep.
And Pardon. Yeah, I enjoyed this episode. I must say.
You had said last week that you really enjoyed it, and I got to say, it was a very good episode.
Well, I remember talking about it now, and like I said, like both Kate and I, like the very beginning, you have Alice Paul who does that impassioned speech to the president, and I'm sitting there, and I felt my eye tear up from it, and I made a comment about it. My wife goes, "Oh, me too," and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, and it like I know it doesn't relate to nowadays times for us at least or whatever, but still, just like that was a great. Whoever wrote that wrote an amazing speech. Yep. Whether it was historically accurate from what it was then or some writer who wrote it now, it was amazing. And then later on, when Mrs. Sherlock Holmes there, I can't think of her name right off the top of my head.
Me either.
Grace. When I Grace made her impassioned speech, it was still just as moving.
It was.
Like, yeah. So it was a really, really good episode.
It was also quite moving to watch these male police officers just beat the ever-loving shit out of those women. This was not a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
This, you know, the women were trying to move forward. They weren't like, they didn't have guns. They didn't have sticks.
Nope. They were
just trying to push their way through. And these guys were clubbing them in the guts, in the heads, kicking them while they were down.
They're beating the crap out of these ladies.
They were going nuts on them.
And then, like, later on, when Lucy asked one of the officers, like, excuse me,
what happened to this?
Can you tell me where Alice Paul is? Are we? Oh, is the president okay or something like that? Sir, contain your wife.
Yeah,
like she was out of control.
Yeah, yeah, because she dared talk to a man.
Yeah, exactly. But I think one of the things I liked the most about it is that it was a like this sleuth there, this Grace Hamilton or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Humiston. Was very smart and intelligent, and I must say, Timeless once again did it, where both Alice Paul, who was a real suffragette, they killed her in this episode, but in real life, she lived into the 60s or 70s or something like
yep.
that. And this Grace Humiston was a real person as well, and she legitimately was called, you know, known for a short term as Mrs. Sherlock Holmes. Because she worked on cold cases she worked on cases in the 1917 time frame or like the show.
Yep.
I love it when they use accurate because it makes me look these people up to see, is this person real? And right. then I read about them like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah.
It's like the History Channel without as many aliens.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, that seems like an accurate take.
They started off in this episode with, Gia and Rufus are fighting.
Yep.
Because he's not being dismissive, and he's saying that he does believe her, but he's basically saying, the fuck am I supposed to do?
Right, yeah.
You're telling me that I'm going to die in an ocean surrounded by a guy who's got cowboy boots on and spurs, you know? What am I supposed to do, you know?
Right.
Everything else has come true, so am I supposed to just lay here and pretend that nothing? You know, he's pretty mad, and it's understandable. But she's also saying, I've seen your death. Please try to stop it, even though nothing she's seen has been able to be stopped yet. And then they have that fun little argument of Flynn and Wyatt. You know, they're like, we're sending Flynn on the mission, too. And he's like, no, leave him behind. They're like, this is why we put a fourth seat in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, well, let's bring the professor. And he's like, oh, no, hell no.
Yeah.
I love it when Flynn walks by him and just looks at him and goes, that's your wife over there. Say goodbye to her.
Yes. I thought that was fantastic. I like Flynn on these missions. I like Flynn working with them.
I liked Flynn as a villain in the first season.
I did, too. Okay. So in this episode, I'm starting to kind of – my mind's – merging the two together. Was this the episode where Rufus acted all invincible? That was the last episode.
That was the last episode.
Okay. Didn't you love Flynn with Rufus? Like, he's like, okay, I promise I'm not going to kill you.
Right.
You know what I mean? How's that sound? And Rufus is like, that's right. You're not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to kill me.
Maybe that was this episode.
I don't.
Because there was Rufus was in the room with Flynn and what's her name there? I want to say Sarah, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's.
I know who you're talking about. The girl.
Yeah.
The bad girl.
Emma.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both, he's like, I'm in the room with both of my enemies. And now both of my enemies are armed. And they're like, don't worry, we're not going to kill you. And he's like, well, no, of course you're not going to kill me. Someone else is going to kill me.
Yeah. It might have been this episode because Rufus got beat up in this one. Flynn's helping him off the lifeboat. And he's like, he confused invincible he confused the definition of invincible or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was good.
I just thought Flynn was great in this.
We also got to see Emma helping them out for a change.
And it was a completely believable way.
Exactly.
Because in her mind, if women aren't given the right to vote and aren't given rights as time goes by, then who is she?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? Because she had this backstory with her mom and how her mom was only able to get away from their abusive father because of the rights she had as a woman.
Right.
Those rights don't exist. And maybe her mother doesn't get away from him. Maybe she's murdered. What's going to happen to me? Who, you know, like,
yep.
So
she had the scars to prove, you know, oh, there was a last minute field goal and his team lost. That's where I got this one.
Yeah. So
dinner was cold one night.
So it made sense as to why she would want to help them.
Right.
Is how she.
So she was on the mission, but she's like, no, we need to stop this.
That's why they had that temporary truce.
Yep. It was a good episode.
It was a really good episode. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
And basically, you know, Lucy finally tells Wyatt what's going on. You know, she's like, stop trying to make yourself out to be the victim. First off, you got the love of your life back. I lost the love of my life.
Again. Yeah.
And now you get to parade around with her and act like you're hurt because we had a 5-second long relationship and then you ran right away to her. No, you don't get to play hurt.
Yep.
You don't get to be the victim in this. But then we've got, you know, Professor Mann and the CIA chick there who find that Rittenhouse thing, the circuit board, and they see the image at the end.
Okay, well, before you get to there, so when Wyatt brought back the stuff from the destroyer of Rittenhouse headquarters, whatever, and then you had the doctor, like he seemed to be completely reinvigorated in what their mission is and what's going on, and so Mason and Jaya, you know, they put this thing together, and he's just like, oh, this is a great puzzle. I don't care. This is wonderful. Or, you know, like, and even she's surprised at how just seemed to be renewed his demeanor is since going on that mission he went on. And so, yeah, they find this card. And, of course, the first thing they decode is an image of
Jessica.
Yeah.
Well, Wyatt's wife. From
the beginning that, you know.
Yep. But, see, that's the thing is now we all go, oh, she's suspicious because they've got a picture.
But is that just a surveillance photo of her?
Right. Because we've pretty much determined that they brought her back to life.
For what reason? Maybe it's to ruin the team. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Boss Man's becoming the bad boss man there. He's becoming a little unhinged. In fact, when Emma was first talking about how, like, you know, she got the scars on herself, I kind of thought she was talking about him at first rather than her father. Just because he's starting to get a little bit testy, a little pushy.
A little bit, yeah, absolutely. And also just like he wants to protect her, but he's also very dismissive of her now.
Yes.
As it seems to be. And then we find out he wants to put women in their place, which I disagree with.
Because they plucked him out of time back in World War One.
World War One time, yeah.
So
100 years ago, basically.
Yeah.
Legit 100. Yeah. But yeah, a great episode all around. Looking forward to last night's episode.
Yes.
And seeing what happens with it.
A lot of shows are either season finales.
They're winding down.
Or their last episode before season finale.
Yeah, I mean, like, I caught up with Taken, and now we haven't. It's like they haven't put a new episode up in the last few weeks.
That didn't take you too long.
It didn't take me too long to get caught up with Taken. Nope, not at all. Yeah, they had an episode, like, April 13th was the last episode. They don't have another one until May 26th.
Mm.
It's kind of a big chunk of hiatus near the end of the season like that.
That is.
But they only come back with 3 episodes. And then their season, I don't know, hiccups or something, then their season's done.
By the way, we both came up with a realization right before we started recording that completely unbeknownst to each other, we both forgot to watch Blacklist this week.
Yeah, we did.
It was just kind of bizarre.
I meant to and then didn't.
Yeah, I scrolled by it on my DVR like 20 times, but that's one of those shows that I have to watch it, either on the bike or...
I can't. It's not a background show. That is a needs my focus show.
Yep. That one, Westworld, Timeless, those are definitely all shows that need my focus.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Superstore. I know it's all done.
Was this the finale?
This was the finale, but it was renewed for a 4th season. So that's good news. And this episode here...
Not the strongest episode, but...
It was, and
they were basically having a CEO visit.
Yeah, they're prepping for the live stream company-wide town hall meeting.
Yeah. But it wasn't really a town hall meeting because all their questions were prearranged and
yeah, it was
determined ahead of time who was going to go up and
it was a puff piece.
Yep.
So,
but they wanted to use this time to take advantage of the fact that they'd be on, you know, TV to talk about Myrtle.
Yep. Because she's, you know, fired for her job.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was old.
Right.
And getting paid way more money than everybody else.
Yeah.
Which, that was still a great episode.
It was. But they talked to Jeff and he's like, oh yeah, we basically got a corporate memo that said anybody over 70, start finding reasons to write them up.
Which, I'm sorry. That seems like a valid thing to do.
It's still illegal.
You know, like, how effective can a 70-year-old be working at?
And that was the point of the episode. And they kept saying through this whole episode, oh, but she was terrible. Do we really want her back? No, she was awful at her job.
Yeah.
So it was six of one, half dozen of the other, but they wanted to get them on, you know, oh, well, you did something illegal. But then they were like, do we really want to fight this battle? Because we don't want her back.
Yeah. I like Glenn shitting his pants during his speech for the global meeting.
Because he had no idea that many people would be watching.
I didn't fart. He farted.
I most certainly did not.
I love the voice of his character. I thought Dina having the baby would end the season.
That's what I thought too.
I'm surprised that it ended.
I wonder if that's going to be a hiatus thing. Like when they come back next season, she'll have had it.
Maybe.
I was glad that we talked last week, though, because this week jumps right in with, you know, Kelly's dumping all of Jonah's stuff there in the store.
Yes.
You know, she's really pissed at him, and then she talks about a revenge plot with, what's her name there?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say Sandra, but it's not Sandra,
the blonde chick.
Yeah. The one who's like, she keeps popping up in the background.
Yeah, it's like the episode where there's the party and she can't parallel park, so she just gives up and stays in her car and eats
cupcakes.
Yeah. And don't forget, you know, the secret camera that captured Jonah and Amy having sex.
Which is the only thing everybody watched.
Right.
Nobody cared around the world until they were like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
And this was not just like, oh, let's jump into it. I mean, they made out and took time on dressing each other.
It was long drawn out.
It was very long and drawn out. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm glad it's coming back for another season.
I love it when they're like right in the throes of it. And he goes, do I need a condom? Oh, no, I'm already pregnant. Oh, that's right. That's awesome. Yep, that's thinking.
That's a real thing right there.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
I'm glad it's coming back for another season.
Yeah, me too.
But basically, Jeff got transferred to Chicago.
Yep.
Because the guy knew what was about to happen. You know, the new district manager was like, oh, she was one of our senior employees. And he's like, oh, hey, I remember you, Jeff. Yeah, you like to drink tea. Well, yes, I do. You know what? If you'd ever come back to us, we'd love to have somebody like you in Chicago. That's where I always wanted to go. Snowballed him.
Oh, yeah.
Took him right over.
Oh, yeah.
Mateo's like, fuck this.
Yeah, what's going to happen with Mateo now? Because he can't go.
Nope.
Can't transfer. He's an illegal.
That's right.
Illegal.
LA to Vegas?
LA to Vegas. Is this the last episode?
This was the last
episode. Okay, I thought so. 15 is an odd number.
Yeah.
But I thought it was. I really enjoy this show.
Yes, I do too. I was worried when it first came out. It was going to be dumb.
And the fact that we have this relationship with the captain, his co-pilot, the flight crew, and the three regular passengers, it works. For some reason, it works. Like, they're all friends, even though, like, they're not really friends, but they're all friends. But yet, they manage to hang out with each other outside of work and this and that or whatever. And, like, somehow Colin's in there. And I don't know. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy this this show quite a bit.
Yep. I like the humor. Nicole finally fessed up to her mom.
Yes.
In this episode.
Said she told her she was a stripper.
Yep.
Kathy and Dave made this elaborate plan to propose to her.
Oh, we've lost all the power. Everybody, take out your glow sticks and light the path to love.
And everybody's on board for it, and then he chickens out.
Yep. Just keeps trying to walk.
I just want to let you know that the fastest seatbelt light is off, so feel free to walk around the cabin. And then keeps going. And then Nicole goes down the back. Is this the meeting place now?
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was great. And then Dave rebounds that weekend.
Yep.
They're all waiting to fly back now.
Right.
And Dave shows up because he's had a rebound that weekend with Colin's soon-to-be ex, Megan, who is Lindsay from You're the Worst.
Yep.
And
Heather Donahue.
Yeah. And, gosh. And then Ronnie disappears. And we don't know what's happened to her until the closing montage where you see she's in her, like, kind of looks like she's wearing a flight outfit. And then she's sitting on a plane. And the person's like, oh, you flying with us? Your first time today? And this and that and everything. You think, oh, she took the job at Delta. Because she had gotten offered a job because she was going to move in with Brian.
Because in the very first episode of the show, that Asian girl heard that she was going for the Delta or the JFK run.
Yes, the and LA to JFK Delta run.
And she took it. Out from under her.
And then we meet her in this episode because she's celebrating her promotion to
a different route.
Flying to Paris.
Yes. And she's like, I never would have gotten that job if it wasn't for you mentioning it.
If I hadn't overheard you saying you wanted it so bad. So Ronnie's resigned herself to moving in with Brian in Vegas because she lives in LA.
Right.
But then she gets the job from Delta to go from LA to Chicago. And he's like, well, you can't live in Vegas and fly out of LA to JFK, I mean.
She says she'll get like 20 hours a week with him.
Yeah.
And maybe some of that will be awake.
Yeah, exactly. And so we don't know what she's going to do. And then Colin makes a move on her spontaneously, gives her a kiss. And then when she's off rambling about it, she mentions that she likes Colin, that she had a crush on him. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, we see her on a plane, and we expect she's taking the Delta job, and in fact, she's going to Hong Kong.
Right.
Because she mentioned, like, I've never been to, like, Hong Kong or something, and so she goes.
Yeah.
And then we see Nicole moving with Bernard, which I think is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Speaking of Bernard, I was watching Scrubs, Season 5, Episode 12 today, and Bernard plays twins on the show. And I didn't realize he did.
Oh, my God, yes. I know which one you're talking about.
And it's the one where, like, their father dies, and he says, give this note to my kids, my sons.
Yeah.
And he gives it.
And it's the last thing that brings them together.
Yes, and it's Elliot and Turk, and they're kind of a little feuding a little bit, whatever, but, like, they both lose the note. Mm-hmm. They don't know what happened to it. And what's funny is there's this whole scene where Elliot's, like, talking to them, and they make a little race thing where she's like, where she calls one of them by the wrong name. It's like, Devin and Jared. So, Devin, I'm Jared. I'm Devin. I'm so sorry. Oh, what? You think all black people look alike?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry, you guys.
They're identical twins.
They're identical twins. But he's like, she's like, I'm sorry, but you guys look alike. You guys look so much alike. What? All black people look alike? And he asked Turk, who kind of looks like them, and Turk's like, he basically throws Elliot under the bus.
Right.
And she's like, identical twins. And then, like, the note was like, clean out the gutters at the summer house.
Yep.
Sorry.
That was their dad.
That was their dad. So, I don't know. I liked how it ended. I'm looking forward to what happens next.
Yep.
Next season. And I don't know. Has it been renewed yet? I haven't heard if it's been officially renewed. I don't know. I hope it has.
Okay.
I'm looking here now to see if there's any notes on it. So, regardless, great show. That one's done for us for the season, unfortunately.
Yep.
Lethal Weapon. Did you watch Lethal Weapon?
I did.
Okay, so there is potential here where they made Murtaugh captain.
Which kind of happened overnight.
It
was another one of those where I felt like I missed an episode.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm like, wait a second. I know that he got in trouble, the boss there.
Yeah.
But this seems kind of out of the blue, if you will. Anyways, yeah, I know Captain.
Because he was acting captain. And, I mean, I understand in a place like that, you can't really have no captain. You can't have a vacuum. But you'd think one of the higher-ups would have stepped in rather than just being like, well, you've caused so much damage and destruction around this city with your antics. We're going to put you into a position of power. I just can't picture that happening.
Well, and they expect him to fail, but then he doesn't, because what happens is the Aryan fraternity of Texas kidnaps a woman to hold her for ransom. And so this is the play, and Riggs has to go talk to his dad, who he got moved to jail in L.A., basically, in prison there.
Right.
And essentially, the U.S. Attorney's Office says, if he gives us information, we'll let him out of jail. And Riggs is having nightmares that his dad's going to try and implement him in his life. And then, of course, we see that Nate, that Riggs has a half-brother he doesn't know about. He's like,
Yeah.
He learns of a half-brother he doesn't
know about. His dad knows all about him. He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but his dad seems to take care of him like he never took care of Riggs, or treats him like he never treated Riggs. So then his brother gets hit by a car, right, running away from Riggs, because all he knows is Riggs to be is a cop.
Right.
But not before he says that he was forced to do this, he didn't want to do this, which was help out with this kidnapping. Of course, they rescue the girl, and Riggs ends up killing the leader.
Of course.
And then his dad gets out of jail.
Because he has this cool scene where, you know, the guy's driving along in an 18-wheeler, and he's just laying down on top of it like he's taking a nap.
Yep. And he forces him off the road and then fight, and then he kills him eventually. But Riggs goes to see his brother in the hospital, sees his dad there, and his dad makes the comment of, like, thanks for getting me out of jail. Thanks for killing my cooker. It kind of worked out better if I had planned it.
Right.
So the implication is that Riggs' dad has been working him this whole time and set this all up.
Yep.
But we'll find out, because tonight, May 8th, is the final episode of the season.
As I'm looking for stuff on LA to Vegas, I did just read that they have officially fired Riggs.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is officially fired.
So I wonder if, and this show has not been renewed yet. So I wonder if they're going to, I wonder with Murtaugh being captain. Oh, right here. It's preferred that Crawford has been dismissed from the show and that producers were looking to replace him for a potential third season. So they haven't renewed it yet. Murtaugh's captain. I honestly, without Riggs, it's not going to work.
Nope.
In my opinion, it won't be Lethal Weapon anymore, that's for sure, if you don't have one of them. And this is a pretty major storyline they're leaving us with Riggs' dad. Well, maybe they wrap it up in this episode. Who knows?
I doubt it. I doubt it, just based on what we've seen so far. But that's two Fox shows now that we're not sure if they've canceled or renewed. So maybe Fox is, you know, holding all of its cards close to its chest for now.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out. But I don't know. Mm. Either way, it wasn't a terrible episode, but the more we see of Murtaugh, the more I want to not watch it. Like, if it's going to be the Murtaugh show next season, I might.
Oh, God. I'd hate that. I wouldn't watch that at all.
Either way, I might give it a pass. So I still haven't watched any of Arrow, and I don't think I'm going to. I might watch the season finale. I don't know.
It's completely a background story for me now, and I don't even really care.
But I did catch up on Supergirl.
Okay, so you've checked them out. What do you think?
Okay, so I don't remember anyone's name. Sorry, but was it Marin? Mira?
Emra?
Emra. Sorry, Emra. She has her own mission.
Yeah.
And thinks what she does. And this is the thing, and I hate it when they do this, these characters, because it's the same story they do with everything, which is it's her way is the best way, and you don't understand me. It's the yo-yo storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Her way is the best way. You don't understand me. You don't have what it takes. Sometimes you have to make these decisions. And, you know, so that kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Yep.
With that aspect of it. But I don't know.
Oh, yes. Especially considering she hasn't been around for a lot of this season. It's like she'll show up for one episode and then be gone for like seven.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I want to call him Superboy because I can't think of his name right now. Help me out here.
Mon-El.
Mon-El, sorry. When the scene in the most recent episode of Two Minds, when Mon-El says, we base the Legion after Supergirl and her ways. Perhaps she does know what she's talking about. When he says that to Marin.
Emra,
sorry, whatever. I'm going to say Marin all day.
I know.
After he says it to you, you would think something would click in her head and say, right. No, it doesn't.
Right.
What do you think about Brainiac putting on like something to make himself look human?
I think it makes more sense. Kind of like Vision in Avengers, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to fit. Like he said, you know, he went to the store and people freaked out on him. And,
yeah. Didn't work out well for him.
Plus, it's easier on the makeup budget, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They don't have to spend all that time in the chair. What do you think about all this cape work?
Okay, I'm not a fan.
I'm not either.
This is not Doctor Strange.
No, and they keep trying to make it work. Like, even in this most recent episode, he flings it at Pestilence and, like, pulls her arm, and then she's like, and throws him.
Okay, so this is the only time they've ever done the cape that I think, okay, that makes sense, because he doesn't want to get scratched by her hands.
Right.
Otherwise, it hasn't worked for me.
You mean the giant bony T-Rex that he could have just punched in the face and knocked down? You didn't believe that he should be using his cape to whip it and drag it to the ground?
No, I didn't think he should be using his cape to whip it and drag it to the ground.
And all the training montages that they're doing.
That was so stupid.
Here's how you do this, and you fling it across. Why? Stop.
I actually was not a big fan at all of the Shot Through the Heart episode where we find out the toy maker is killed. Or sorry, the toy man.
Off screen.
He died off screen, yeah. And on, I wasn't a big fan of that. I guess the episode which is In Search of Lost Time. The aggression one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of
weak. That was okay as well, over a long storyline. But this the most recent one where Pestilence or Blight, whatever you want to call her.
Pestilence, then Blight eventually.
Yeah. When becomes Blight and then Rain breaks free. Because, you know, the three of them got to get together at some point.
Right.
They got to get together at some point because there's only a few episodes left. So right. It makes sense that they're finally together. So now they can be stopped.
Right.
And I thought for sure this was going to be the episode where Supergirl told Lena who she was.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
You know, because really they're confronting Lena, and she's like, oh, I've had her all this time, and I figured out all this stuff. I thought she'd be like, hey, guess what, by the way.
Yeah, but yeah, as far as the big return after the two-month hiatus they were on, or a little over 2 months, I wasn't impressed with the Shot Through the Heart. I don't think that was a good, you know, second season kickoff.
No.
And then the follow-up episode after that was also kind of
like,
yeah.
Like I said, the villain in Shot Through the Heart, while not on the level of the Thinker,
no,
was way too good at what she did and way too powerful.
Yeah.
For somebody who was essentially a janitor.
Right.
A few weeks before.
Yeah.
Didn't like
the Thinker, we've had a progression of it. Plus he's absorbed other people and everything. Right. But this one, the most recent one here where the Trinity, the trio there get together. I thought it was good. I thought this was a good episode.
Yep.
I thought it was good.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
I kind of agree with Emra. I mean, I know they're doing this whole, we don't kill, but
yeah.
She's like, this person, we tried it your way, didn't kill her. She evolved into Blight, and now she wipes out planets.
And again, she is right. She has an accurate point. However, her putting a force field around the entire building, that's going to cause some pretty severe panic among everybody. So that was a bad move.
Yes, it was.
But that's what separates those Supergirl and Flash from, like, say, Arrow and even Legends.
Right.
Where in Arrow, Oliver's like, he's okay with killing. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Legends, they do it all the time.
Legends, they kill a lot as well. But there's a few, they like, right, they try not to, but they do. It happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Flash and Supergirl, no. We have these powers so that we don't have to kill, so we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, but it does end up proving, but this episode really proved Supergirl or Kara wrong when she tried to talk to Blight about it and, you know,
give her the old pep talk.
You know, like just like whatever, you know, just try to get through to her human side. To, you know, make her realize she took an oath, do no harm, to be a doctor, and get through to her to make her realize, hey, we can fight this. We got to do this. Because that's what she said the whole time. If we can get through to the human side, then we can stop them. We can, you know, help them or whatever. And instead, there's like your human side went the opposite way with it. She was like,
I'm a god.
I'm a surgeon. We have god complexes. And now I am a god.
Right.
You know? And
also, Lena has discovered that it's not just like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing,
mm-hmm.
that each personality can only exist at one time because the other one is in essentially the Phantom Zone.
It's not a Killer Frost type thing.
Right. One of them goes to an alternate dimension,
yep.
One personality, and then the other one comes out.
Right.
So Sam was able to argue with Blight while in that Phantom Zone. That's what I'm just going to call it, the Phantom Zone.
That works for me.
You know, it's Superman, so...
excuse me. I'm glad I caught back up on the show.
Yep.
Because I do enjoy it.
Yep.
I know some people don't like Supergirl. I think it's great.
I do too.
Same kind of like with Flash. I know some people don't like Flash. I think it's great.
Absolutely. I know some people who like Batman versus Superman.
They're wrong.
Yep.
So we have three episodes left of Flash.
Okay. Including the one on tonight.
Including the one that's on tonight, yes. Which is called, I love the title, Harry and the Harrisons.
Nice. What was last week's episode called? Because that was a good one, too. The one that we just watched.
Therefore She Is.
Oh, yeah.
So in this one here, DeVoe starts gathering items to make his enlightenment machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we see flashbacks. And we see flashbacks from DeVoe's wife, Marliz, of how they met.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been a pompous ass, apparently.
Yes. But she did the classic thing, drives me nuts. She said, nobody's ever challenged me like that.
Yeah.
That's why I fell for you.
Right. She reads his journal / manifesto, which counteracts everything he's saying verbally.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you can't honestly believe this because you talked about the Omega, you talked down about this. He's like, right. Yes, I do. And she basically goes off to someplace in Africa and she's making filtering water to help the locals and this and that. And a bunch of gorillas show up, and not like gorillas, right, but army people, gorillas. And, right, and just kill all kinds of people and destroy her filtration device and on, which makes her realize you're right. These people are, you know, they're, you're, well, right. These people aren't worthy. Basically.
But his whole argument was that technology is making us worse people.
Right.
You know, unlike Thanos, who was like, oh, just half the world needs to go. You know, this guy was like, no, technology is making us worse people.
Yeah.
The more technology we have, the more connected we are, the worse we are. So we need to all be dumb again. Everyone needs to be dumb so that we don't understand technology and we can go back to being primates, essentially. And I get where she's like, oh, you're right. People are terrible people. Not everybody's terrible people.
No, not everybody's terrible people. But, like, so to me, though, the way they built this, and then later on when they're stealing these supercomputers and Gypsy's helping them, and, of course, Gypsy and Sisko are having personal issues, and he's going to kill Gypsy, DeVoe is, and she, you know, Marliz, whatever, basically begs him not to. And tries to appeal to him, to who DeVoe is. And so the whole time they're making you think that they're going to defeat DeVoe because she's going to turn on him.
Mm-hmm. But then no.
And then at the end, they have everything and she's been injured. He puts her in his chair to heal her. And that's when she says, like,
see ya.
See you later. I'm leaving you. You're not my husband anymore. He's dead.
Yep.
You're someplace else.
He was the first casualty of the thinker.
Yeah. And so DeVoe tries to, you know, get at her, but she's got the force field around the chair and he cannot breach it. And she bumps into a pop convention and she's gone. And even says, well, you'll be affected by the Enlightenment. And she said, that's fine.
Yep.
Basically what the Enlightenment is, he's building these things to make these satellites to hit the Earth with some dark matter Megatron blast. It's basically just, it's supposed to revert.
It's a dumb ray.
It's a dumb ray. It's supposed to make you stupid.
Yep.
And it's,
I think I saw it on Underdog years ago.
Probably. And it's basically what's happening to Harry right now.
Yep.
Harry, from putting on his helmet, his thinking helmet, whatever you want to call it, and then blasting himself with dark matter, every time he tries to think of something, it disappears.
And kudos to him for actually coming clean with the team and saying, you know, this is what's going on.
And great job on Cecile and, like, using her abilities to read his mind for them to work together where he thinks of it and she can see it before it disappears
so
she can write down whatever it is.
And great teamwork.
That was cool how they – that was – because that was a good way of utilizing what's happening, him and her together to do something. And that's basically how they discover what's going to happen.
Yep.
And then Sisko and Gypsy break up because he wants to wake up in –
he wants a relationship.
He wants a relationship where they wake up together.
Yep.
Because what they have now, just trying to find time to breach different worlds to see each other, isn't enough. Neither one of them want to work together as far as her dad offered him a job as taking over for him. And
she likes the way things are.
She likes the way things are. It's good enough for her, but it's not good enough for him, so they break up.
Yep.
And that's not going to last, I don't think. And then it ends out with Cecile's birthday bridal shower. Baby shower. And then the mystery girl shows up, brings him a gift. Oh, you got a baby's due in 21 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And da-da-da-da-da.
This is from someone who really thinks you're very special people and you don't know it.
So the last thing we see from her, and we've seen this girl in a couple other episodes, and she...
starting off the wedding.
Yeah, and she knows how to write in the language that appears when Flash came out of the Speed Force and was writing initially. Yeah. She knows about them on and on and on. And then when
Harry and Caitlin. Yep.
And when she ran away, she had yellow and purple lightning, which was Barry's yellow, Narcissus purple. So it leads you to believe that this is their kid. So if they came back, if she's back in time from a future where and that means they defeat DeVoe.
Quite possibly.
Essentially. You know, they stop DeVoe somehow because she's around.
Right.
That's how I look at it, but it was a good episode.
Yep. They have promised that by the end of the season they will give us the full identity of the mystery girl.
Yep.
Which you had to figure that anyway.
Yeah.
The way they're building her up, though, it feels like she's going to have a bigger part to play in the next season.
Probably.
Like an actual member, or possibly something happens to go wrong and they lose her. Like she disappears. Now they're going to spend the next season trying to get her back.
That's fair enough. So the next three, Harry and the Harrisons, Think Fast, and then the final episode's called We Are the Flash.
So we are Groot.
I am Groot. Hey, watch yourself. I want to go see that movie again.
Yeah.
That's what I should have gone and seen instead of watching Bad Samaritan. I should have just saw it. I just should have gone and see Avengers again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
So let's see. That was Flash.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
So, when we last saw them, they were heading up in the elevator.
Yeah.
And they go to the evil ship. Coulson and Talbot. Confederacy ship.
Confederacy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know. What'd you think?
I felt that Talbot is getting a little too big for his britches. He's becoming that megalomaniacal guy that nobody likes having at the party.
Yep.
You know, he's like, I'm super powerful. I'll take on anything. We got a nice little name drop. Saying that, you know, oh, the power that's really coming to destroy this planet is Thanos. That's what we're trying to warn you about, not Gravitonium.
Right.
But Thanos, he's coming.
So, my theory is that S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place prior to Infinity Wars.
Yep.
That's how I feel. There's only two episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like I want to wait and watch them both back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just this week and next week. And even though it doesn't say it's a two-parter. But, I mean, either this has got to take place prior to Infinity War, or we need to see people start disappearing next week.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen?
A little of both, I think, actually. I think that what we're going to see is, by the end of the last episode, we're going to see people start disappearing. But with this next upcoming episode, I think that it's going to be the build-up to, like, I think it was you that was talking about it, that, you know, since Infinity War got pushed up by 2 weeks, you know, we're in episodes that shouldn't be airing right now. You know what I mean? Like, well, Infinity War shouldn't have come out yet. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Infinity War should have come out last week when this episode aired, when they first mentioned Thanos.
I thought it was 2 weeks that it was up or something like that.
No, anyway. It only got pushed up a week. It was supposed to come on May 4th.
Okay.
And last week's episode was May 4th, and so... But Talbot, okay, so he goes up for the Confederacy ship. He takes it over, makes it his ship.
He's wearing robes.
He's a tremendous megalomaniac now.
Yeah, he's a dick.
He forces what's his face, the leader of the Confederacy ship, to take him to the meeting. To get a meeting with the rest of the Confederacy.
Right.
And then he kills them all.
Well, he tells, you know, he's like, I want to see it on your, and they're like, no, there's nobody, you don't get to be here, you haven't proven yourself, and there's only six spots here, and there's six of us, so he kills one of them and goes, yeah, now I've got a spot, and then, you know, goes from there. We also had Daisy and Yo-Yo facing off against each other.
Yeah, they had a fight, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, Yo-Yo's sick and tired of Daisy, and Daisy's sick and tired of Yo-Yo. And so, you know, oh, we're going through his powers, then I win. And then she doesn't win. Because May comes in, breaks them up, and says, we got to, you know, do this. And they're still looking for a way to save Coulson. You know, they've got the centipede rig and the ashes of, what's her name's mom?
No, not ashes, skeletons.
Skeleton
remains of Daisy's mom.
Yep.
Yep.
Those decompose quickly.
Has it been a while?
Maybe a year.
Oh, well, I don't know how long it takes a body to decompose in the ground.
You'd think we would. You'd think that'd be the type of thing that we would know.
You could Google it, probably.
We're trivial people, I mean.
Most definitely. Anyways, the only alien that seems to survive out of this Confederacy meeting is Cassius's father.
Yep.
And then Coulson's like, no, like they're bad people. And Talbot's just full of himself and won't listen to anybody.
Because he can do anything.
And the aliens are just saying what he needs to hear.
Right.
They're just placating him.
Because he's a Cassius. Kissing up to him. He's super powerful and he leads the Kree.
And they alter one of the Zephyr ships to go into space. And they head up there and
rescue them.
Yep. May and Daisy infiltrate and Coulson looks at them. Talbot takes that as being that Coulson's undermining him. Because why would they be here unless it's mutiny? They're here to rescue us. I don't need rescuing.
And they've got the general with them, though.
Yeah, but they don't know that. Well, Hale's on the ship already.
Right.
And so there's the big showdown. Hale tries to use the brainwashing thing to take over Talbot, and he crushes her up like a compactor.
Yeah, I'll comply.
Yeah. And then he knocks out Daisy, basically.
Because, you know, she's a main character, so you can't kill her.
Got to knock her out. That's it. And essentially gives Daisy to, we find out at the end, Cassius's father. Mm. He's like, I'm going to take you to my home world. So she can't destroy the Earth. She's not there. But we all determine that Talbot's one that's going to do it anyways, if it's going to happen.
Most likely, yeah.
Because of the unmined resources of gravitonium underneath the Earth's crust. So he's got to break the Earth apart to get to him. That makes logical sense.
Yeah.
So
there's untapped amounts of gravitonium down there. Which could be a lie anyway.
I like how Deke decides to get on the Zephyr to head into space to help him out. And the guy's like, what are you doing here? He's like, well, I just wanted to get out of the lighthouse. And he's like, you decided to go on a possibly suicidal raid to an alien ship, da-da-da-da. It's the only way I could get out.
Yeah.
He's like, I spent my whole life in the lighthouse just to escape it and come here to live in the lighthouse. And again, I like that they're using Portland Headlight as the lighthouse, but it's they're not in Portland, Maine. So, I don't know. It was a good episode. I'm looking forward to the final two.
Yeah. Could be the very final two.
Yeah. Man, I wish they'd make a decision.
Yeah, I don't like being strung along like this.
Neither do I. I like it, but I like the show, but
yep.
I can understand if they wanted to end things. It is kind of getting a little hard to. They're going to keep it with the cinematic universe the way the universe is going.
Right.
See what else? Is that everything besides Westworld?
Well, I had The Crossing.
Oh, yeah. I watched all first six episodes of that today.
Wow. You really caught up.
Yeah, well, I didn't do anything else, really.
So you like it then?
I do, actually.
Parts of it are a little bit.
There's parts I don't like. There's other parts I like a lot.
I really liked learning about the first crossing, getting interspersed with.
Yes, the first crossing, second crossing. We have the alternate future as far as what's happening. Mm-hmm. We have the different type of characters as far as the apex, the apex people, the common people.
Because in the first episode, you think that guy that he meets on the bridge that used to be in Burn Notice, that was a real dick, you think he's Apex. But no.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's actually one of them.
Yep.
But he just came over before them.
Right.
They're part of, and some of them are part of Alpha Zulu, which was like a common human people special forces team. And I don't know. I liked it a lot. Did you find it deliciously hilarious that the main girl's character, who's the Apex, is named Reese?
Uh-huh.
And
from APB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
I don't know why I did.
Yeah.
It tickled me the right way. But yeah, no, I thought it was, I think it's, the show really sucked me in.
It's one of those, like I said from the beginning, I hope they don't cancel it because it feels like they're building so much of the mythos, so much of the world.
Yes.
You know, now we're finding out that there are Apex sympathizers that help them out. They're not Apex, but they're actually helping them. Yeah. And I don't know. I like it quite a bit.
I liked how this is like the first show I've seen Stephen Zahn in that I like Stephen Zahn as.
Yeah. He's usually in movies. It's weird to see him on a show.
It is, but, it's not like it used to be.
Right.
It used to be, like, so taboo for someone who is a movie actor to be in a TV show.
Right.
And you never saw TV actors as a lead role in a movie. Like, George Clooney was always the exception of a guy going from TV to movies, mm-hmm. But now, Mike and Molly for years.
Right.
With Melissa McCarthy or whatever. And she was on Gilmore
Every
Girls.
Fucking
and,
movie.
Yeah. And now she's in tons and tons and tons of movies. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Elementary came back this week.
Oh, okay. I have not watched. I'm so far behind on that. It's like I get around to watching it once in a while type of thing, but I like the show.
It's good. It came back and kind of picked up where last season was. And basically, I know you're way behind, but I'll just say this. Sherlock's a little brain damaged.
Oh, that sucks. Why would they do that?
He has what they call, I believe they said, post-concussive syndrome.
Oh, okay. Post-concussion syndrome. Come out of it.
Yeah. But it's affecting him in things like he has to sleep now. He gets tired.
Yeah.
He's not as sharp as he once was.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And he's really struggling with it because he can't be good at his job. He can't be good at solving mysteries. And if he can't do that, how's he supposed to stay sober? Because that's what was keeping him sober.
Oh, fair enough.
Really good twist in this episode. I won't give it away because you got to catch up. But really good twist in a new character introduced in this episode. I'm liking it so far. So, yeah.
Just to jump back real quick.
Yeah.
I recommend The Crossing thoroughly to people who aren't watching.
Yes.
I got to say, I'm hooked.
Yep.
I am very hooked. But anyways,
Sherlock. I was waiting for you to catch up on it. So that...
But Sherlock, yeah. Yep. I'll catch up on it. I always like Sherlock Holmes. Rather be.
Did you hear that they greenlit the third one?
I did. I was going to bring that up a little bit later in my news section. But yeah.
Sorry, we were on Sherlock.
That's okay. Well, it's a natural fit. But yep. Rather be Sherlock or Elementary or Sherlock Holmes, which Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law coming back with Guy Ritchie directing.
Yes.
Release date, December 25th, 2020.
I don't know that I'll go on Christmas Day.
I don't think I will either, but I'll go see it in the theaters.
Yes, yes, so. Absolutely.
And while we're talking about movies in the future, I saw this was greenlit, and it's happening, and it's coming out. I can't remember if it's spring or fall 2019. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about.
For Rambo 5.
Oh, no, that's not what I thought you were going to say. No.
Rambo 5 is coming, and in this episode... This movie.
Installment.
This installment. John Rambo, played by Sylvester Stallone once again. He's going to Mexico to fight the cartel.
And meanwhile fighting colon cancer?
Probably. He's going to Mexico to fight the cartel because his buddy's daughter's been kidnapped or something like that by them down there.
She's been taken?
Yes. And he has a particular set of skills.
He does.
But I'm okay with it. So I liked the last Rambo movie. I thought it was great because for us is, Sly's only 71. He can pull off one more Rambo. What I like so much about the last Rambo movie was that his character's already established, like to us watching it. So they don't have to like give us this backstory and recon him or whatever like that. He's the special forces guys that are there with him just dismiss him as being the boat captain until he pops up and kills everyone and saves all their lives. And they're just like, who the fuck is that guy? And they don't have the big reveal. Oh, that's John Rambo. They don't do that. They just like in awe of him and his ability.
Yep.
And that's it. And then we just to see him kill some. When he gets that 50 cal and he's just wiping people out, man. I popped big time for that.
I bet you did.
That's what. And you're going to see a Rambo movie. You expect to see overdose of killing.
Yes.
You know.
Oh yeah, Hot Shots Part Deux. Remember how much they made for that?
Yep. You know, him doing the big yell, and then he's done. You know, saves the day because he's John Rambo.
Yeah, and hip firing a 50 cal machine gun while holding the belt in the other hand. Not happening.
Well.
Not fucking happening.
Well.
That thing's going right up there.
He's John Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
He's Rambo.
I caught up this week on Krypton.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that show.
It's really good.
Really?
Yes. They're really, really front-loading their own version of the mythos.
Really?
Yeah. So I've told you the basics of it. We've met General Zod, who has traveled back in time as well.
Groaning a little on the inside.
He is the son of the main character's girlfriend there, the Zod. I keep forgetting their names. But anyway, the Zod, who is the main character of the show, mm-hmm. It's his mother. And he's back here to stop Brainiac. Because in this version, Adam Strange told them that Brainiac is coming to steal Krypton, destroy Krypton so that Superman can't be born, etc. No, turns out that in this history, Brainiac collects worlds. He collects Kandor, and that's it. which in the comics, Kandor was a Bottle City.
Yeah.
So he collects Kandor, which rips apart part of Krypton, throws the Axis off, and then within the next 100 or 200 years, it explodes. So this, coming up here, is what causes Krypton to explode. So now, Seg, Superman's grandfather,
yep,
is torn, not really, between do I stop Brainiac and save my planet, or, as Adam Strange says, let things happen as they're supposed to, because that's how we get Superman. And if you don't stop if you do stop Brainiac, then he never takes it, the planet never explodes, and Superman never comes to Earth. So it kind of creates a little, what do we do here? One thing that really,
it does, yeah.
One thing that kind of, I don't know if it bugged me or not. I think it did. But basically, Zod and Seg have teamed up because there's a super weapon buried down in a vault that could destroy Brainiac, because it can destroy anything. Tell me you see where this is going already.
Okay.
There's a super weapon.
Yeah, it's a super weapon.
Yeah. So they go down there, and it's this impenetrable door. But, you know, there's a sigil on the door, and it's a cross between the House of Els and the House of Zod's symbols. So they have to both bleed on it so that they can prove that their bloodline is here, because they worked on this.
Yep.
Their ancestors worked on this and built this super weapon. And it's called Doomsday. Yeah. And Adam's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought you said it was good. It is good. Surprisingly enough, because we've also got a lot of political intrigue going on. But it's good.
Okay.
Because the voice of Rao is leading the people, leading the masses. And some of the higher-ups don't like that. They want to see him deposed and have the houses take it back. And yeah, except that he's now infected by Brainiac's nanomachines. So it is good. I'm giving you the broad strokes, but it is a good show, honestly. I'm really enjoying it.
I will take your word for
it. Okay.
I don't know.
I can't believe they introduced Doomsday.
Yeah, see, that's...
That bothered
me. That's jumping the shark just a little bit.
It really is, because they're saying, you know, oh, yeah, Adam's like, whoa, he'll destroy everything. And it's true. He'll destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll destroy Brainiac. Well, maybe if you get him up there, because Brainiac in this time period is essentially a floating planetoid that takes parts of other planets. So he's Unicron, essentially. Yeah. Those are some good thoughts.
Yeah.
Unicron. Obelus, look, it's Unicron. The ships, get to the ships. It's our only chance. Oh my God. I can practically quote that entire fucking movie.
When he dies, my destiny. When his leg falls off, that was always funny.
Oh, yeah. When he was reaching down, he's like,
his leg falls off, yeah. And then they burst out his eye.
Yep.
So good.
And then later on in the cartoon series, when they like tried to hook his head back up, the ghost of Starscream was trying to help him get a body back. And,
yeah, that was good. That was some good stuff.
I think that's it for shows, though.
I watched two movies.
Other than Westworld.
Yes, I watched two movies.
Okay.
I went to the theaters and I saw Bad Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looked amazing.
Because it's David Tennant.
And it stars David Tennant, who plays in, he's got an American accent.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know if
but
I like
it, that. It works. Basically, long or short of it's this, and I'm just going to rehash the trailer, I guess. There's a guy. Him and his buddy, they work as a valet service. When rich people came bring their cars to valet them to go to the restaurant, they see where they live and go to their houses if they live nearby and to rob them.
Yeah.
But they only rob them of things that they won't notice are missing, is the plan. So one of the guys, the main character there, he goes to David Tennant's house. And while he's looking through for things, he finds a girl who's bound and gagged and chained into a chair.
Which, you know, everyone's got their kink.
And essentially, he tries to help her escape, and he can't. And then he has to go to the police. And so he ends up going to the police to turn himself in to save this girl. Because, you know, he needs to do the right thing. Where, of course, his buddy's like, I don't know about that, man. I don't want to go to jail. And he's like, us going to jail is not as important as this woman losing her life, you know?
Right.
And so he basically, you know, he's telling the detective, it's just, he's like, well, how did you know that she was there? What were you doing in the house? He goes, I was robbing it. So he has to go and basically confess to burglary to try to save this girl, hence Bad Samaritan.
Right.
And of course, David Tennant's character finds out about it and it makes this guy's life a living hell. Because he's a sociopath.
Which I can't picture. After seeing him in Jessica Jones, I kind of can.
Oh, yeah. So, for me, it's like there's some great moments. There was some intense moments. I would say definitely give it a watch when it comes out on home video or when it gets on HBO or Stars or whatever.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go to the theater to see it.
Okay. I'd like to say I wasn't planning on it, but I mean, there'd always be part of me that would be like, but it's a David Tennant movie.
Yep. I mean, he was brilliant in it. There was literally a jump scare in a movie, that jumped the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah, which never happens.
No.
Never happens at all. But it's just, I don't know. They did it really well, and it got me good. I actually chuckled to myself. I was a little embarrassed for myself and the other person in the theater with me. Because there's only two of us. But yeah, it's like it actually got me. It surprised me. But anyways, yeah, I would definitely watch it. Just wait for home video. Mm-hmm. I would go to the theater to see it.
But when you mentioned that about being in the theater, it reminded me one of my last nights on. Jeremy was talking to me about movies. And he was talking about suspenseful movies that he liked because he really liked Fight Club. And I was like, oh, it's a great movie. I told him that he has to watch Memento.
I wouldn't call Fight Club suspenseful, but okay.
Yeah, it's psychological.
Okay, psychological, yeah.
I told him he has to watch Memento.
Yep, I agree.
Phenomenal movie. Yep. You know, I was like, I'm doing you a favor. Watch this movie. It is so good. I said, don't read up on it. Don't look it up.
Yeah, don't.
Don't read a write-up. Don't read the reviews. Nothing. Just watch the movie. You'll thank me later. And I say that to anybody out there who hasn't seen it. Do not look it up. Don't be like, whoa, I wonder what it's about. Find Memento and watch it.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree with that.
But he was mentioning that he liked a lot of M. Night Shyamalan's movies. And I'm like, oh. Huh. He goes, especially one of the ones that I really liked that I never saw coming was that one where they all lived, you know, in the old times in the village. And I go, yeah, the village. And he goes, yeah, they lived in the village. No, the movie was called The Village. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, that one. I didn't have that one figured out. I go, funny story.
Oh, God.
Mike and I went to the theater to see that. And the opening scene of that movie is the people standing around in their pilgrim garb and, you know, having a funeral for a kid.
And no one's even said anything about it. No dialogue has been spoken. Right. All we see is a pilgrim funeral and credits. And then John leans over.
I saw the stone with the date of birth and date of death etched in it. And I leaned over and said, wouldn't it be funny if it turned out that the twist was that these people are all living in modern times and, you know, they just choose to live this way because, you know, something happened to them. And Mike looks at me and he goes, there's no fucking way that's going to happen. No. And then three quarters of the way through the movie, he just looked at me and went, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan. The Sixth Sense was excellent. I enjoyed Unbreakable. Nothing at all after that until
I'm doing the same thing. What was the name of it?
Yeah, one with James McAvoy.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say Spawn, but it's not Spawn.
It's not Spawn. It's
Split.
Split. Yeah, Split. Split was phenomenal. Split was excellent. And I'm actually looking forward to Glass. But yeah, Split was excellent. I remember
talking to you on this thing, and you're like,
"No, not falling from M. Night Shyamalan again. Not doing it.
It wasn't like anything he's done before.
No, it was
because there was no big twist. There was no like, saw everything as it was happening.
But really, what helped was how geniusly McAvoy executed that character. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah. All the different personalities.
Oh, yeah. He was phenomenal. And I liked it near the end where you could see him rapidly switch from one to the other. And his body language told you he was switching from one to the other. And I don't know. It was just – he was phenomenal in it. And I think that's what helped it so much. I thought of one more trailer-type preview thing I shared with you. And to me, I said this is the greatest trailer I've ever seen because it gives nothing away. And that was the Stranger Things Season 3
teaser,
which is this them going, hey, guess what? We're getting together for table reads.
Right, exactly.
It's coming. You know, like, that was
brilliant because it gave nothing away other than to say, hey, it's coming. Also, I saw that Luke Cage is coming back for another season this June.
Yes. Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer. Doesn't have me excited, but I'm going to give it a chance.
It looks better than the first one because it looks less like...
I'm going to give it a chance. I'll just say that.
Shadowy?
As much as I struggled with his first season, I will give this a chance.
Bushwhacker looks pretty cool.
Yes, he does.
Kicks the shit out of him.
Yes, which was cool.
Yeah. Looks like he's doing a little voodoo shit there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the other movie I watched was on Netflix called Kickboxer Retaliation. And this is the sequel to the new run of Kickboxer movies where Jean-Claude Van Damme plays Durand, his trainer. That Jean-Claude Van Damme played Kurt Sloan in the first movie. His trainer was Durand. Now he's playing Durand in this movie, the trainer to Kurt Sloan. Now, I'm not going to say this movie is fantastic. I will say it's on Netflix. There's some great fighting in it if you want to go watch it.
Okay.
And you get to see Mike Tyson and Jean-Claude Van Damme square off in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and there's a bunch of other MMA guys. If you watch MMA, you might recognize, like, I'm not saying top name guys, but like Roy Nelson and so. But anyways, so I watched that movie. I'm not giving it a hard sell, but it's worth checking out.
Okay.
If you want to watch some good good martial arts fighting.
I did not watch any movies.
Okay.
Earlier when you said that a movie had been greenlit and you were super excited.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought you were going to talk about the news from today that Bill and Ted 3 is coming.
I didn't see that.
Bill and Ted 3 is coming.
Is it really coming? Or is
with
it just
the original actors? No, it has been officially greenlit. They're shopping it around Cannes. And they've already got a story in mind. They're now middle-aged. They've got families. They're dumpy. They've written thousands of songs, but none of them have really been a big hit. And then someone comes from the future and tells them that the world is doomed, except for the power of that one song that they
haven't written yet.
That they haven't written yet, apparently.
The one where they just strum very slowly.
The Wild Stallions are coming back.
It is you. Yeah, what's up, future dudes?
It's not going to be the same without Rufus.
No, it's not.
I don't know who they're going to get to be. Maybe Joel McHale.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious. That would work.
For some reason, it just popped into my head, and I could picture him.
That would work.
Being like a young Rufus.
So, we're now at the point of the show where we're going to talk about Westworld, and then we're going to wrap up. So if you don't want to hear about Westworld, then we'll talk to you next week. If you want to hear about Westworld, please continue to listen.
And of course, this is Westworld Episode 2, even though 2 days ago Episode 3 aired.
Correct.
Because we're doing it on a tape delay.
Yep. Episode 2, Reunion.
Yes.
So what'd you think?
I loved it. I love the show anyway. A lot of weird, like, this episode really did a lot for jumping back and forth in the timeline.
It did. But it didn't do that in the first episode.
No.
In this episode, we're seeing how William, because when the season ended last time, you know, William's brother-in-law's father is who, or his father-in-law, I guess, is who he gets to invest in Westworld, into the company, whatever it is.
Right.
And we get to see that. We get to see how William gets him to invest. We get to see how his brother-in-law is first wooed by them.
Which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. They have all these...
Mr. Delos.
They have all these hosts in a... they have all these hosts, like, in a...
it's like a cocktail
nightclub
party.
Or cocktail bar, whatever it is. And he's supposed to go in there and try and find which one is the host. And they all are.
Right.
And the one person he thought was a host, who was too perfect, was actually the human, which was great. Of course, she raises one finger and they all stop.
Yep.
So that's how he's convinced.
Yep. Which is really cool to think about.
Yes.
We get a lot of the backstory on how they came to be investors in this type of thing.
And then we see how William is the one that gets his father-in-law to invest.
Right. Because basically he's like, my son's an idiot. I'm interested in the here and now. And he's like, oh, I think 20 years from now, this will be a thing. Yeah, I'll be dead.
Yeah, that doesn't do me any good. I'll be dead. Exactly. But William talks him into it.
Yep.
He talks to him like, no one else has. I know you must have loved that line. But he talks him into it. And then later on, we see, you know, James being forced out of the company because he's got cancer and he's going to die or whatever. And it's a retirement party, but it also seems to be a party where William is being made the successor of the company. So he basically is going to run everything. So that was a lot of cool flashbacks. we see Dolores out of the park, and she's supposed to be... I think she's...
Those parts were weird, weren't they?
She's supposed to be, like, at that nightclub party with everybody else, but Bernard takes her and shows her his home and talks to her, like, and she's acting a little odd, and...
We keep hearing Anthony Hopkins' voice off-screen. Yes,
like, he's there, but he's not. And so... You know, when we had seen, like, in the future weeks, you see Dolores a couple of times being off out of the park, and you don't understand the context, but the context is a flashback. Like, she's playing the piano at William's coronation, James's retirement, if you will.
Right.
And then we also find out the big backstory of why William hates her so much.
Mm.
And it was because he became furious that he fell in love with her.
Yep. Which we kind of saw earlier.
Yeah.
Like, in the whole where... You know, he was out with her last season.
Right.
When we saw the two of them kind of bonding. And so, now we get the second part of that where he's like, I can't fucking believe that I fell for you.
Yeah. And that's why he rapes her all the time and hates her and kills her all the time.
And despises her. Because he blames her for it.
Yeah, exactly. He's blaming her. Now, fast forward, we see old man William, if you will, and Harris. And... He's happy as a pig in shit that the park's gone the way it is because now things are different.
Yeah. They're deadly. Like, he could be hurt.
He could be.
Like, he's struggling with that guy who's trying to stab him through the eye.
And he got shot and, you know, on and on and on. And he gets Lawrence to help him.
Yep.
And they go see this. Dolores goes sees the Confederados. He goes and sees.
The Confederados were run by that kid who I've seen in a bunch of stuff, but I can never place him.
I know what you're talking about. I know. Yeah. I did the same thing when I saw him.
Yeah.
They go to Pariah.
Yes.
To try to get.
Because all these places have names like Pariah and Glory and. Yeah.
To try to get El Laszlo to help him on this journey. And instead. He gets a message from Ford basically stating that William's got to complete this game on his own and all of Laszlo's men kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he put it really beautifully too.
Yeah.
Something about like, this game is just for you. You've got to go it alone. But it was like, it was said much more eloquently than that.
Yeah. And they all killed themselves.
Yeah.
And then Laszlo kills himself. And Lawrence is like, oh shit, what do we do now? And William's like, I guess we just got to keep going.
Right.
Just you and I. And he kind of tells William a little, I mean, Lawrence, a little bit about, well, this is, you know, he lays it out to him in a way saying, you know, this isn't real, but I don't think Lawrence either, you know, like he doesn't comprehend or, you know, like that doesn't like anything to me.
Exactly. Thing, you know? Yeah. It's the,
but
it's
he just keeps following because that's what he's supposed to do.
Yep.
So he keeps following William. So I like that part.
Yep.
But you know, he basically announces that, you know, he's going to continue on because he wants to destroy his greatest mistake.
Yes.
And we don't know what that is.
But we're getting hints at it.
We're getting hints because – go ahead. Because
then we've got Dolores who's raising her army and she's – this episode was spent her awakening Teddy essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, showing him behind the scenes, showing him who these people are, what they're trying to do. Having that other female gunslinger stick the guy's face in the hot resin –
oh, God.
And he's like, going, it burns. And he told them where they'd be setting up regrouping points. He said, you know, you'll have like 800-900 people that'll descend on here, and they're going to be tactical about it, and they'll all converge on this one spot. So she's going to get an army together, and she goes to see the Confederados.
Yeah.
And kills them all.
Yeah.
And then brings them back.
Yeah, she brought that tech with him so he could raise them all up. So he's like, okay, well, I killed you all, but now you're back, so now you're going to come work for me.
Yep.
Because obviously, if I can bring you back from the dead, I'm God.
We also had that nice little meeting between Dolores and Maeve.
Yes.
Where she's like,
along the way,
they kind of recognized in each other what was going on. Yeah. And Maeve's like, no, I got my own shit to do.
Yeah, because Dolores is like, well, there's been an awakening and this and that. And Maeve's like, no shit, darling.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me. You're where I was like months ago.
Yeah, basically. And she's like, but I have things to do. So you're going to let us by.
Yep.
And okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the last thing, which kind of joins both together, is that William's on his way. Old man William's on his way to something. Dolores is on her way to something. And it seems like they're both on the way to the same thing.
Because they both talk about glory, the land beyond.
Yeah. And what I think.
Teddy even says they have a bunch of different names for it, but it's the same.
It's the same thing. Yeah. And I think that's what. When William cuts the promo on Dolores, why he hates her.
Mm-hmm.
He then shows her this special thing that he's working on, this special project. And I think that's where they're going.
Personally. Well, yeah. But all I saw was like earth movers.
Right. Because they're breaking ground on it is right. What I could think of. And Dolores then later says, like, someone showed me this a long time ago. An old friend showed me a long time ago. But basically didn't think I'd remember, but now I do. Because Dolores can remember everything.
Right.
Every past life, everything that's happened
to her. And she says, and it's not a place, it's a weapon.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do see the tiger in this episode.
Yeah.
But we don't, it's, the context is, so. But I don't know. It was a great episode. Again, a lot of doors opening.
Uh-huh.
A lot of doors continuing to open. And we're connecting some of these doors that they're actually hallways, but they're still going in all kinds of directions.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I did like seeing William's friend from the old days come back. You know, young Delos.
Yes.
Funny to hear the name, too, you know, because it's Delos.
Oh, and he's a drug addict now.
Yeah.
You know, his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He's a drug addict.
Yeah.
And he sees Dolores and he recognizes her. He's like, oh, you're supposed to be some kind of joke. And I thought he was going to try to rape her or assault her or something. And then nothing happened. I was actually kind of relieved that nothing happened.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just, it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's a great show. They definitely have a direction they're going on this season. And I don't know about you, but I love
the third season.
I love the music.
Oh, yeah.
The piano like versions of these hit songs.
It's one of the few shows that I look forward to the opening music.
Yes.
Like most shows you fast forward through the opening credits.
I like watching this one every time.
And I like seeing the robotic hands that are playing piano. And then they like lift up and it keeps playing.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Love it.
So no, it's a great show.
Yes, it is.
Phenomenally great show. Yep. Let's see what else. I haven't looked into this in the future, but I think for next week I'm gonna look to see what summer shows might be coming back, like Mr. Robot or help me out here. I'm trying to think of it. John C. McGinley, IFC.
Oh, Stand Against Evil.
Stand Against Evil to see when that's coming back. I don't know when that's coming back. You're the Worst, if that's coming back soon.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't know if any of these are summer ones.
Yeah, or I don't know when they fall because I feel like we haven't talked about them in a long time.
Right.
So, the only thing I forgot to watch this week was I didn't watch Brockmire, episode 2, and didn't watch Blacklist.
Yep, I forgot Blacklist. But I caught up on a lot of other stuff. I mean, also a couple of shows that we haven't talked about in a while, but, you know, that I think we're both still watching, Deception.
I haven't been watching it.
I've been really enjoying it. They're opening up more and more of the mystery about what's really going on and who's in charge. And we got to meet up with the two different colored-eyed woman again. Nice. They just had the last two episodes were really cool because they don't tell you, but you have to watch them together because one of them plays out like a normal episode and it ends on a cliffhanger. And then the next one is what was happening to the other team.
Oh, I like during that. This one. I like that. When they do that.
Yeah. You should check it out. Cause it was fun.
The thing is like, I watch a lot of wrestling too.
Yes, you do.
And so I've been trying to cut down watching stuff,
which of course means regular TV, not wrestling.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, fair enough. Yeah. Actually I have cut down on wrestling a little bit. I'm watching more of specific matches and highlights as opposed to the entire show, like Raw, SmackDown, or whatever. But I'm trying to watch less because I feel like all I've done lately is watch TV. Maybe that's because I was on my back for a month.
Yeah.
You know, after my...
You also do have a podcast dedicated to watching stuff.
Yes, I understand that. So I am watching my regular shows.
Two of them, technically.
Okay. Yes. The other one is watching wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm watching my regular shows still. Okay. So...
You're looking forward to the summer months.
I'm looking forward to the summer months so I can start watching some different stuff. Or to see what the summer shows are or whatever. So I haven't really been putting new shows on my plate, if you will. Like, you know, like Deception. I watched a couple of those and I was like, yeah, okay. Didn't really hook. Alex Inc. Done with it. You know, I watched one of those because it's Zach Braff.
Yeah. I gave up on Good Girls.
You know, I didn't even bother watching that. That seemed like a stupid concept for a TV show. Great movie.
Yeah.
Horrible TV show.
Yeah, it's really gotten worse. So that's why I stopped watching it.
I've been trying to cut down.
But it's been renewed for a second season. So, you know, I must be wrong.
No, I don't think you are.
People like seeing Christina Hendricks on TV.
She's got red hair and big boobs.
Yep.
So that's probably why I'm not watching Arrow.
Because of the red hair and big boobs?
No, because I'm cutting down on shows, if you will.
Nobody on that show has big boobs. Or red hair.
I know, but...
Maybe Cupid.
I'm just saying. So, anywho,
I do like The Crossing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the storyline was interesting enough, and then, you know, sitting down and watching those multiple episodes today kind of helped.
Doesn't it, though? Can't you see what I'm saying? You look at it and you go...
feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You look at it and you go, this show's going to get canceled.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah. Like, this show, we're going to get a horrible... We're going to get a huge cliffhanger on this, and then a big middle finger.
If even that.
Yeah.
I can picture them saying, oh, there were 13 episodes in this season. Let's end it at 10.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be worse.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
That's it for me, though.
That's it for me.
Cool. You can reach out to us and speak to us on our social media platforms all over the interweb.
Everywhere.
Everywhere on the
interweb. It's everywhere you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on your phone.
Yeah.
It's on
tablet.
Tablet.
It's laptop. On
a laptop. It obviously follows what you're doing because you go look at something on Amazon and you go look up your Instagram and there's an ad for what you're just looking on Amazon on your Instagram now. So that's not creepy at all.
No.
Machines.
It's just a little bit of code.
The machines are taking over.
Yes, they are. I'm okay with that.
Until they start turning on us.
Yeah.
Anywho, again, out there on the interweb, I'm on the Twitterverse. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm at the Quantum Geek. G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And on the Facebook platform, we are at What Did You Watch This Week? No, at just What Did You Watch This Week? I forgot. Whatever. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
I was trying to think of a way to say, like, Twitterverse, come with Krypton in it, like we're the Twitterton and Twitter Krypton Twitter. I don't know. It didn't work out, so I just skipped it.
Okay. Well, I think it's probably best that you do it.
Yeah, probably.